Dear Keisha and little grandmother, I want to warmly welcome you to the Conscious Evolution Summit.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me and for giving me this opportunity to share whatever I am allowed to share.
You are so welcome, really. And to you listening to the audio or watching the video, I also want to warmly welcome you wherever you are joining this conversation. And I just want to invite you to become really present here. So to connect with your body and connect with your breath. And wherever you are, it might be in a room, maybe in a car, or maybe you are outside. I also want to invite you to include the nature surrounding you, because our conversation will include nature a lot. So I want to make you really present and aware that we are all part of nature. And I want to share a little story, because when I received your yes for joining this summit, it was so touching, I cried. And I cried for 1 hour. It didn't stop and I let it just flow. And I was surprised because I never met you personally. I saw some videos from you, but it's a while ago. And yes, every cell in myself had a yes to what you share and what you bring. And then a few days later, again, I connected to our meeting. I didn't think about how it will be, or I also had no expectations, but I just tuned in. And again, it so deeply touched me. And then I got curious. I thought, what is that about? And I kind of started digging and kind of checking with whom do I meet there that it's so touching. And what popped up was, I will have a conversation with Mother Nature.
Well, that is a great honor to hear you say something like that. That's very touching to me. For me, I am just myself. I'm just Keisha. And anytime I see that there's a platform to share the love and the respect for nature, for Mother Earth, I want to take it. And so I have to say thank you to you for giving me the opportunity to share what I've been taught or what I know in my love for Mother Earth to others. Because you say that you cried when you heard that I would speak. That is not because of me. There's so many people that say, I love and respect you. And I can take that, and I honor that they say that, and I love and respect them too. But what I teach and what I share is in all of us. It's not something that has disappeared, and I am not special for this information. I simply remember it, and I'm trying to get all of you to remember too. So I think it's something that's there that this planet has been giving us, and it resides inside of each one of us. And when we wake up to it, we are touched.
Yeah. And I just want to invite our audience to relax into that and to just be open to however and in which depth and in which ways all of us will be touched. Yeah. And I just think we can't be touched enough.
We all need to be reminded, even I need to be reminded every single day that of the beauty that nature provides, the instruction, the teaching, the love and the tenderness that is all here for us. Just looking out of our window, or those that are outside or in their homes, all they have to do is look outside their window and see that there is so much life surrounding us. And it's a web of life. One thing cannot live without the other. And we are part of that web of life. And we need to find our place again. To find our place means that we can grow our self-confidence. We can figure out why we're here, what our purpose is. We fit back into the balance of life and this planet. The reason why we sent ourselves here is to be on this planet, to learn and grow from nature, to fall down and make mistakes and learn how to get back up again. We are here to experience duality, but we are also here to learn and to grow from nature itself, from this beautiful planet we get to call home. And if we can let go of our day-to-day things and the importance that we place on them, paying the bills, getting up, getting dressed, going to work, it's kind of a mundane thing, but we get sucked in. And then we find ourselves living unsatisfied lives because what magazines and TV and the internet teach us is the more things that you have, the happier you can be. Or to be entertained, to be blind to what life is really about. But if we can shut that down just a little bit and see where we actually live and know that we sent ourselves here to learn and to grow and to experience and to fall in love and to break our hearts, there is so much here for us to know and to learn and to love. And when we fall in love with our planet, when we fall in love with nature and all creatures, great and small, we feel fulfilled and we can become the lovers and the caretakers of our beautiful Mother Earth.
I mean, I so much resonate with what you said because my personal journey over the last, I would say, 15 years was really a journey of simplifying my life. Mm-hmm. I now live since 6 years in a yurt and I love it, even though right now I'm not in it because it's afternoon, it's 30 degrees hot right now. And there is a little forest house where I have this little room where it's cool because of the shadow from the trees. As you said, I mean, nature provides it. There is shadow, the room is cool. And this simplifying life, I feel more and more abundant in even though I have less and not so much material. And also yesterday evening, for example, my partner and I, we were sitting on the terrace in front of the yurt, just enjoying this very warm summer evening. And then I said, because I lived for about 6 years in a community before with between 10 and 15 people. Now we live two humans in another place. But I said, we are such a huge community here. All the insects, the birds, the lizards, the butterflies, the plants, our veggies growing, the trees and the more, my feeling is the more I'm really becoming aware of that, the more there is a conversation. I hear them talking. I hear the trees. I really sense the support or the hints or the slaps or whatever.
I'm so happy to hear you say it because in today's age, we have the internet. I didn't grow up with it as a little kid, but today everybody's on the internet. Everybody's looking at their cell phone and we have become gradually addicted to it. We want instant gratification. If we have a question or we want to know something or want to see something, all we have to do is click on Google and it's instant gratification. And we get wrapped up in all of this. And then some people say, Keisha, how cool is it that you can speak to nature and that nature speaks to you? And I said, well, have you ever tried it? I'm not special. I don't have some magical power. It's in all of us. But until we extract ourselves from this busyness and take ourselves outside, you can start to learn and see, just like you said, you start to feel like you are in a community. Every living creature, from the smallest enzyme to the greatest animal that you will see standing in front of you, is part of this beautiful, exuberant web of life that is teaching us continually. Every indigenous culture on this planet and our ancient ancestors all speak of talking to Mother Earth, speaking to nature, hearing voices from the animals. Now, Mother Earth does not say, I really like indigenous cultures and I will only speak to them. Mother Earth did not decide one day, you guys aren't worth my time, but your ancestors were. Mother Earth is continually speaking. She's never stopped. We simply stopped listening. And it's a switch that we can turn right back on. But you have to be willing to do it. You have to be willing to stop talking and really listen. One of the funniest things that I learned when I moved from Colorado in such a tiny little town in the middle of the Rocky Mountains with just a few hundred people in wide open nature to moving to the Netherlands, it was shocking. And one of the most poignant things that I learned was coming here and the people that we knew all want to go for a walk. They know that I will enjoy going for a walk in nature, so we get ready. And getting ready for me is grabbing a water bottle. That's all I need. But people in Holland and in Germany, I've seen it done. It's all over Europe. You have to put your best walking shoes on, your walking pants. You have two titanium sticks and a backpack. And you go out on a trail, which is paved most of the time. And everyone talks and talks and talks and talks. And then you get back home and you sit and have coffee or tea and talk about how great it was to be in nature. But I would like to point the question out, how many creatures did you see? How many insects? What were the plants feeling? What did you feel? What did you learn? What did Mother Earth teach you? You cannot listen and learn from nature if all you're doing is speaking and consuming your time with things. We have to let go of things and steal our minds and steal our hearts. And then you do start to realize that you are surrounded with life. And all of that life you can interact with.
Yeah, and what comes to my mind is really engaging with all senses. You can yes. smell it, you can touch the leaves or whatever, and really engage with everything.
That's wonderful. You bring up such perfect points because I have now for the last 10 years I've been doing this job and I'm continually every month for the last 10 years I've been in a different country. I teach and I go and I listen from different indigenous tribes and teachers and chiefs. And often it's brought up this way of being an awake person. Are we awake? It's often asked. Now, if you've ever been with an indigenous person, you will go into the forest or the jungle or the desert and you do not speak. They are quiet because they are becoming awake. And what we are taught is to take a few moments and just shut off all of your senses except for that which you can smell. Smell everything. Smell the earth, smell the trees, smell the air. And then turn that off and only listen. Listen to all the life that is around you. And then taste. Taste the air. Pick up a stone and put it in your mouth. Taste the earth. Open sense by sense by sense until everything is opened and then open your eyes and look around you. One by one, you turn on your senses and become a true awake human being. And then you're ready to journey into nature. Listen and learn and feel love and receive love. That is becoming awake. And it's very important.
Yeah, and what I had, because kind of I'm a very visual person, what helped me a lot is just to close my eyes mm-hmm. and be out in nature with closed eyes, because that's my most active sense in a way, seeing, and then I'm impressed of the beauty and the colors and everything. But just shutting this sense down for a while, to be then more open to listening or to smelling or to touching, that helped me also to awake in all senses, so to speak. Yeah,
I think we're all a bit like you. We are trained since little tiny kids to believe what our eyes see over all other senses. And if you can shut those down and pay attention to smell, your breath, the taste, the sounds, the feelings. The feeling is where you talk with Mother Earth and Mother Earth talks with you. I will say it 1,000 times. If you go outside and sit under a tree, You will be waiting a very long time if you're expecting that tree to speak with vocal cords, the language in which you speak. How ridiculous are we as human beings to think that the tree is going to speak German or English or Dutch with vocal cords? It's not going to happen. Your dog, your cat, your pet, the wildlife is not going to speak in your language with vocal cords. All of nature is speaking through emotion, and that is how we learn. You can ask yourself, if you've had a pet before, your pet cannot talk to you, but you know inside of yourself instinctively if something is wrong. Same with us as parents. When your child was too young to talk or to describe what was going on. Even now, my children are grown and they can be in a different country, and I know when something is wrong with my children. It's because of this intense heart connection that we have between us and our kids or us and our pets, because we love them so much. Now imagine loving the trees just as much, or the flowers just as much, or the wildlife just as much. That heart connection happens, and you can feel and you can learn and you can love each other truly. It comes from within, not a voice.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what comes with that, how I experience, I feel expanding. I feel much bigger. I feel not so restricted to the physical body. Then I get really this understanding and this knowing that, yes, in a way, in a certain dimension, I'm that body, but that's not all what I am. I'm much more. And when I open to this awakeness and to the senses and to nature, it's then so clear.
Yes, this is the great I am that I've been speaking about for 10 years. We exist on a much bigger plane. We've come from something bigger, and we are here in human form taking this journey. But we are so much bigger than what we've taught. We've been taught. Since the tiny little kids, we're put into a school system who teach us to all fit in the same box. Speak the same way, look the same way, be the same way. And you're judged and criticized harshly on what you're capable or incapable of. And we grow up and we have all of these labels put on us, which we believe, because as children, you're like a sponge and you just believe it all. And we grow up and we have low self-esteem. We don't believe in ourselves. We have been made to feel small. We are made to feel that we have to buy things to make ourselves worthy of something. And we do feel small. We're put in these tiny little boxes. But when you can go outside and you can breathe and you can let those things go, all of those labels, good or bad, just let them all go. Let go of what other people think of us or expect of us. All of a sudden, you open to a whole new world. Truly, if you've ever felt it, you know what I'm talking about. If you can truly let go of what other people think of you or expect from you, and put down all the labels and just be, knowing that you sent a spark of yourself here to live this life, to take this journey, to take this test, and be all that you can be and love all that you can love, something magical truly happens. You can feel it in every cell of your body. You become bigger, freer, more able, more willing. And that only comes in those moments of silence and of becoming awake.
Yeah, awake, and also then really sensing this connectivity, or as you also said, this, that we are part of a huge web of energy of life. Yeah, and that puts everything in a different perspective in a way.
The perspective changes completely. If you can honestly, I always like to teach people, first of all, who are you? If I ask that question to anybody on the street in any country, I will always get the same answer. What your name is and what you do for money. Always the same two answers. But if I'm to really ask you, who are you? And if you can really find the essence of that, and the only way to really find that essence is to go outside and to be quiet and surround yourself in nature, in the true loving vibration and frequency that we all are and are capable of connecting to. I think it's the easiest way is to throw away what you are not. So if we look at what we are not, you are not your job. You are not what you do for money. You're not even your name. Your name does not define you. That's a name that your parents gifted you. You are not your wealth. You are not defined. Your person, your who you are, your soul is not defined by the things that you own, how much money you have. And the biggest one to throw away is what other people think of us. We are trained almost every moment of every day to worry about what other people think of us.
Yeah, and also the other thing what pops up, Keisha, is that I remember a moment when I was, I would say about 17, and there I connected to, I would say, timeless presence in me, my true self, me, what I am. And I just recognized it's not touched by any circumstances, by any stories, by any gains or losses. It's just not touched. But what then also happened, and it's still a journey, is all the reference points I've collected from family, from school, what is important or what life is about, they just collapsed. And then there was really a period of, I don't know how to kind of, how to be, how to engage when all these reference points, which seem to be so relevant and so important, they just collapsed. And in this young age and in this time, I mean, this is almost 40 years ago, there was not so much talked about your true nature and being awake, and that was really confusing.
I've had similar experiences, and they are absolutely life altering. When I left, I grew up a very strict Mormon in a very strict Mormon family. The entire village was Mormon. That's all I knew. And I had to extract myself out of that, and my world crumbled. In the meantime, I'm becoming little grandmother, and life was so confusing. But then something very similar happened to me, where as in everything that had happened to my life, I had to look at from a distance and try to analyze it, because those constructs no longer fit what I wanted my life to be. But what happened for me as the experience was that I could look at them from a distance and see the lessons that I could learn from them. So how did that certain situation, good or bad, make me become the better me that I wish to be? What did I learn from it? What did it teach me? How can I further my path because of it? And so when you do have those breaking moments, don't judge yourself from your past experiences. Never label yourself or judge yourself harshly. We are not sinful. We are not bad. We have experiences. Human beings will always have an experience. Good, bad, hard, easy, or ugly. You can always learn from them and become better because of them. And so don't put yourself in any box. Just allow, learn from it, and go forward. Yeah. That's the biggest lesson that I learned from that moment also that you shared. It was very similar, but I did see very clearly how everything and every experience, no matter how bad or how good it was, led me to be who I am today, and that I could learn from it and move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also had moments, because you said this, not putting a label or judging. And sometimes it just happened that I just lay down to go to sleep, and then a situation comes to my mind where I was hard on myself, and I just seeing it, being aware of it, I cry, I open my heart, and I just realized that was just the way it happened, and it wasn't possible differently. But now when I see, and when I open my heart to how harsh I was on myself or something, then something changes.
I do think that you're right about that. I think that we are our own worst critics. We beat ourselves up and judge ourselves more harshly than anyone else. And I think that we get caught up on labeling ourselves, if you will, but whether you grew up religious or not, society has taught us to focus on our mistakes and to beat ourselves up for those mistakes, to put other people on pedestals and believe that they are so much better than us, that we cannot achieve what other people have achieved. So we are kept in a low frequency. We keep ourselves down. But instead, if you will, let's look at it from a different perspective, that there are no mistakes. None. Even if you and I or whoever is listening, I want us to think just for a moment, we all have one, something that we believed as a mistake in our life. I think it's pretty easy for us to come up with something. Now I want to ask you, if that opportunity came today or that same circumstance, would you make the same mistake? If the answer is yes, I have to say that test will come again. And it will keep coming until you learn from it. If the answer is no, congratulations, you've passed that test and a new one is coming. How many times have we found ourselves in the situation asking ourselves, why does this keep happening to me? It's because we didn't learn that lesson the first time. And I do not believe that there is a white man with a white beard and a white robe that is God in heaven predicting everything and giving everything out. I don't believe in that scenario, but I do believe in great spirit, if you will. I know there is something bigger than me, but I also know that my soul comes from something greater and a spark of me came to this planet to live this life. And I know that my own great I am loves me more than anybody could. And my own great I am sent myself here. I chose to come to learn and to grow. And so whatever circumstance I am in, whatever lesson is put in my path, I know it's for me to learn and to better myself. And there is no mistake. I either will fall down and learn how to get back up again and learn from it and become better because of it, or I will get that lesson again and again and again until I do learn from it. I don't believe in labeling ourselves or judging each other harshly. I don't believe that we are full of mistakes or that we are sinful. We are human beings. And we're all here to learn and to grow and to experience duality and to break our hearts and to fall in love. And we should be kind to each other and accepting of each other. And if you see somebody that has fallen down, reach out your hand and pull them up, no matter what shape, size, color, creed, or religion that they are. We are brothers and sisters living on one beautiful planet that we call Mother Earth. We have to be nice to ourselves and nice to each other.
Yeah, and when I listen to you, I also can see how patient nature and evolution is. It brings it up again and again until we really kind of get it. It's so patient.
It's true. It's always teaching and it's always caring. Mm. It's always there. Mm. I have a very special connection with Mother Earth and nature. And I have been blessed to have the time that I have had in nature and learning and loving the creatures, great and small. And I continually look out the window because those trees are my friends. The grass is my friend. The animals are my friends. And I don't think that's silly at all. I think as little kids, we all had friends that were trees and were bunnies or the ducks or whatever you wish, and we sang and we danced and we played outside, and somehow we grew up and we were taught that that was inappropriate. Somehow humanity has disconnected the umbilical cord between mother and child. And I've even had people tell me that's crazy to call the earth mother, but does she not provide for us everything we need? The food that we eat, the air that's in our lungs, every breath of air we take is given from this planet. Every meal you have ever eaten has come from this planet. Every drop of water you have ever swallowed to keep this body alive comes from her. And before all man-made religions on this planet, there was one belief: to respect and honor nature. And most of the time, it was a female deity. Now, whether you wish to call her her or mother, love the planet, respect the planet that you live on, because that is what's giving you this human self.
Yeah, and what is especially painful for me in those days, I don't know why, but it's just painful to see the quality of our water in the rivers, in the lakes, in the ocean. And I always say, I see a connection between our state of consciousness and the quality of the water. And I think there is a connection. I always say we will see how awake and aware we are as humanity in the quality of our water. I don't know if you see it similar, but I would really like to hear your perspective on yes, some really painful situation we just made up as humans here.
That is a huge topic, and I've written my whole second book on that topic because I believe it's so important for us to see the reality of, in which our planet is right now. And most of us, we don't look it up, we don't see it, we try to ignore it because it is painful, but also because our news is too busy reporting on this celebrity or that celebrity to tell us what's really going on. But the situation on our planet is dire right now. Global warming is a real fact, whether you want to believe it is man-made or it's natural. Men and women, children, we all have a very big part to play in this. But our planet is sick. And it does reflect who we are as human beings, because our water is not polluted because it's naturally polluted. Mm. Our forests are not being cut down by the thousands and thousands and thousands of acres because nature will have it that way. Our ecosystems are not being destroyed naturally. Our animals are not going extinct because they wish to. Human beings are the only creatures on planet Earth that create trash. Human beings are the only creatures on planet Earth that take more than they need. Human beings are the only creatures that are destroying ecosystems, making animals go extinct, polluting the waters, killing our oceans, and destroying everything around us. And how is it that we can do this? I've asked myself a million times since I was a little tiny girl, how is this possible? How can we cut down the rainforest knowing that it gives us our oxygen? How can we pollute water that every single thing needs, including ourselves, to live? How can we put pesticides on the food that we must ingest and give our children? How is that possible? I think it's because that we have found, well, we have disconnected from the natural world. If it's not on your mind, it's not on your heart. And the elders, no matter where I go, have taught me the same thing. They teach the same thing and they never connect with each other, but they still believe the same thing. If you do not love something, you will never protect it. And humanity right now has found themselves living on a very sick planet. And the demands that we put on this planet far reach what she can give right now in the way that we are living. If we all just took what we needed, there would be plenty for everyone. But because of greed, war, power, lust, our collective consciousness is so low that we do not even see the living world around us and take care of it. But the more we understand how nature works, the more that we connect to her, the more that we love her, the more we will protect her. And that's the whole essence of why I wrote the second book. It is about the four elements. And we've all heard wind, water, fire, and earth. We know what the four elements are, but do we really truly know what they mean for us, the human being? Because nothing on planet Earth, including ourselves, can be separate from the elements. One element cannot live without the other. And it's the same with us. Our bodies are the representative of Earth for each individual. The Earth, just like our bodies, provide all the other elements for each of us. Do we respect ourselves? Do we respect the Earth? Do we respect our bodies, or do we look in the mirror and want to change everything about us? We want to change our shape, our size, our color, and we pick on each other and we judge each other for those ridiculous things. We need to get to the point where we can love and honor and respect ourselves, our own bodies, and treat them well. Our water, just like Mother Earth, we are 73% water. 73% of Mother Earth is covered in water. We must have water on this planet, and water is essential because it holds liquid crystals inside of it. Every single particle of water on this planet has a liquid crystal inside of it, and crystals hold information. The very thing that Nikola Tesla described the universe are the same three words you describe a crystal: frequency, energy, and vibration. The atoms of a crystal are formed in geometric shapes, and they are the highest vibrating particles on planet Earth. It's a crystal, and you can hold it in your hand, or the liquid crystals that are in every particle of water. And our water holds information. So when we look at our rivers and our lakes and our streams, what information have we installed in that? We pour our sewage in there. We dump our trash in there. There are floating islands of plastic and garbage in our oceans larger than the United States of America. There are 8 floating plastic islands. There are more particles of plastic in our ocean than there will be fish by 2050. We pollute our waters. We damage them to a critical point. What do you think the vibration of our waters are holding? But it's us who has caused the problem, but it's also us who can fix it through our water. Water holds information. It holds a vibration. And so when we can hold a solid crystal in our hands, and it too will hold information, smallest piece of quartz has ran the largest man-made computers on the earth. They are in our radios, our LEDs, our TVs, our cell phones. They're everywhere because they can hold information, and they can hold, store, and create their own energy. So when we hold a piece of crystal in our hand and we put our right intentions of love, harmony, care, gratitude, and we throw this crystal into liquid water filled with trillions, countless amounts of liquid crystals, they share information. So for so many years now, I've been asking people to put your intentions and prayers into crystals and throw them into the water. Crystals speak to each other. It is up to us to heal our water, to stop polluting them, to stop using plastic water bottles. There is no need ever, unless you are in a third world country and cannot get clean water, to use bottled water. But the two top consumers are America and Europe. There is no need. We have to stop using plastic sacks. We have to stop being part of the problem and be part of the solution. So we need to respect our own water, just as we need to respect the water on Earth. If your water holds your intentions and your emotions and your thoughts and your feelings, I have to ask each and every one of you, what have you been installing inside of your liquid crystals? How do you describe yourself to others? What do you think about yourself on a day-to-day basis? How harsh are you on yourself, or how loving are you on yourself? Your water is holding that information. Our body is the earth. We need to respect and love it. Our water is the holder of information. We need to respect and honor our water on this planet, just as we do need to hold the truth, the goodness, the care, and the love for ourselves within our bodies in our water. The wind, the spreader of seeds. Without the wind, we would have no fruits, no vegetables, no beautiful lands to live on. the spreader of seeds, so our voice is our wind. What seeds are we spreading? What message do we want to carry? How do we use our voice? How do we speak to the children? How do we speak to each other? Our passion is our fire, the fire that burns the old and the dead away, just like on planet Earth. It will burn away the dead, the debris, and the detritus so that new life can grow. But we also have a fire, and that is our passion. With fire, with passion, you spread the seeds of what you believe in and what you love, and you can bring green back to Mother Earth. Our elements within ourselves, just like on this planet, are so imperative for us to understand. Because if we cannot love ourselves, how will we teach others to be loving and compassionate? If we cannot love ourselves, we will never stop judging others. And if we cannot love our Mother Earth, how will we ever protect her and make things right again? Our world is a very fragile web of life. And if we start snipping one of those little threads, everything will unravel. And right now, things are starting to become very, very brittle, and they can all come apart. But it's us who can put them back together again. By taking those moments, going outside, being quiet, learn from Mother Earth, see everything that's around us, be grateful and have gratitude for every drink of water, for every meal. Come back home to yourself, respect and love yourself, and respect and love each other. And for goodness sakes, respect and love the planet that you live in. Then we can start moving forward. We have to change our consciousness. Right now, the world, the collective consciousness on our planet is ego consciousness. War, greed, power, lust, pride, vengeance. I can go on and on and on, but these are the ruling energies by the masses. But I also believe that humanity, we all have this goodness, this sweetness inside of us. If we can just pull ourselves away from what the TV tells us is important, what society tells us is important, and come back to our own soul and our own heart and our own goodness, the sweetness that exists in every single one of us worldwide, we can change the world. We have the power. We have the power of who gets elected as officials. If we speak as one voice, they cannot make rules for us that we will refuse to go by. We have the power, but we also have to love ourselves, bring ourselves back up by our bootstraps, as we say in the country, stand up, get some self-confidence and some self-worth. Know who you are, know what you're passionate about, and don't back down. Just move forward. We are the ones that have to change this situation. If we keep going as we are for this planet, our planet will be ruined for the generations to come after us. We are the ones right now who have to find it, the strength and the courage and the understanding and the relationship back to Mother Earth, in order to heal the things that are our wounds right now. We are the ones, and we are absolutely capable of it.
Yeah, I just heard Amma say recently, I also like her a lot, the Indian woman.
Yes, I know her, yes.
She said, we are so passionate to ask for our rights, but are we the same passionate to ask for doing our responsibilities?
Mm-hmm. Well said, Amati. Absolutely.
Yeah. And in a way, Keisha, I mean, in your experience, in a when you break things down to make them quite simple and practical in day-to-day life, what would you suggest us, what can we do, how can we be during our day in order to really make this shift happen?
Be love. Mm. be love. Out of all of the places that I've been, whether it's with the Bedouin people or in the high jungles, it doesn't matter where I go or what indigenous tribe I'm with, every single one of them will say the same thing, be love. It is the most simple answer. And I love to break it down into simple things. And I love to write my books very simply because I do not need an elaborate course for somebody to try to figure out, because that's not the essence. The essence is simple. When it's simple, it is true. That is what my Hopi elder always told me. When it is simple, it is true.
Yeah, and oh my God, I resonate so much with it, and also that you don't need anything. You can apply it always and everywhere. Nothing needs to change. You don't need any instruments or any circumstances. It's the truth is really...
It's a very difficult course. No. I always like to say you will never become enlightened by taking several courses. You cannot become enlightened or find your true self by reading books. You can help yourself along, but it comes from within, and it comes from love. It's the most simple answer on the planet. Everything is energy. Everything. I am energy. You are energy. The earth is energy. Everything in our homes is energy. How do we interact with each other? What is on your heart? How do you care about yourself? How do you care about others? How do you treat other life forms? All of them. The crawlers, the swimmers, the flyers, the four-legged, the two-legged, the one-legged. How do you treat and respect other living things? If you live your life with love, everything changes. Love is the highest vibration on planet Earth. That even came out on NASA has written that it is now the strongest vibration on planet Earth. Einstein said it many years ago. Science Weekly put it out. Love is the most powerful energy. It is true. Love is so strong. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we giving our intentions to? What attention do we give to things? Is it negative or positive? There are only two consciousnesses on planet Earth. There's ego consciousness and there is love consciousness. There's only two. Human consciousness is created by humans. I can ask this 1,000 times, and it's so funny to me that people don't know this, but it's just something we don't think about. We know there's a consciousness on planet Earth, but it doesn't just happen to exist. Oxygen doesn't happen to exist. It is created. We are the creators of consciousness with every thought, action, and feeling and emotion. Every single emotion, every single thought that you and I are having, every single person on this planet is having, every moment of every day, is feeding either ego consciousness or love consciousness. It is us who is creating it, feeding it. Everything is energy. If you feel, act, have the emotion of an ego consciousness, a lower frequency, you feed the lower frequency. And vice versa with love. By being love, you lift the consciousness, the collective consciousness on planet Earth for all humanity. It is said by one of my teachers, by sitting down on the couch for 5 minutes every day and just feeling gratitude and just giving love to what you love, you are doing more for your world than going out and picketing and shouting. And 5 minutes a day, you can change the consciousness of the planet. And if everybody that's hearing my voice sits down for 5 minutes a day and gives love, imagine how big that goes. We are all, I believe, that we all have this sweetness inside of us, this love inside of us. A mother, no matter where she lives in her world, will always want to protect her children, loves her children. It is the same for everyone. I don't care what color or race, religion you are. It's there. It's in us. And if we can just quiet ourselves for 5 or 10 minutes a day and feel love and be in gratitude, that is essentially the best thing that we can do. We can stop harming our planet. We can stop buying plastic. water bottles. We can stop using plastic sacks. We can cut down on meat, especially beef, because that is the industry that's destroying our water more than anything else. We can do things to improve our lives, but by being love, by having appreciation and gratitude for all life, no matter how small, bend down and pick up that worm off the sidewalk and put it back in the grass. Help where you can help. Feel gratitude and kindness, and you will be changing not only your life, but the lives around you. And collectively, we can build our consciousness into love consciousness. And then the whole world changes. Just as the grand elders have said so many times, the more loving you are, the more understanding you will have. Right now, we don't know how to clean up radiation spills. There's no science on planet Earth that knows how to clean that radiation up. We do not know how to clean up the oil spills happening in our oceans. We don't have that technology. We don't know a lot of things. But the more loving you become, the more intelligent you become. That is the promise for the entire universe and all living things. And so by being love, essentially, it's the key to changing everything. It's simple, and if something is simple, it must be true.
Yeah, and when I listen to you, I mean, when I am love, I always feel so expanded. And then it just makes sense when I'm becoming more expanded that also there is more space for insights, for intelligence, because I'm getting bigger.
Yes, we break down those labels and those boxes, and all of a sudden we can become the bigger me that I was intended to be.
Yeah, and the other thing was also because I pretty much do practice that what you share every day, and what I notice is also that expanding this love, it amplifies. The more I include, the bigger and stronger it feels. So I start kind of narrow and then I expand, and in a way it expands on itself, and it gets stronger and bigger the more I expand it. And the other thing is also that I also do this being grateful, and it's so interesting because what then comes, what I'm grateful for, are almost every day really just tiny little things. It's my nice, good, tasty green jasmine tea in the morning, or this warm evening breeze in the evening sitting in front of the terrace. It's always really just simple things which come when I look what I'm grateful for. That's also very interesting. When you come to the essence, to what is really meaningful, what I come back to again and again, even though you expand in a way, you get also more simple.
You come home to yourself. You bring up such good topics because I think in our world, in our society, we have been taught the grander something is, the more worthy you are. We think we have to have the biggest house and the biggest car and wear the best clothes. And even in the spiritual community, I've seen it happen so often. Many people will leave their society and the way the structure their religion is or their society because they're tired of ego, they're tired of the game being played. And they come into the spiritual community to find themselves jumping right back into that ego game where I am more spiritual than you. I have better gifts than you. I can see portals and I can hear this and I can see that. Instead of just saying, I'm a human being and I have flaws and I have weaknesses. But I really want the best for myself and I want the best for this planet. I'd much rather hear somebody say that than make up a fantastical, egotistical story that they are the reincarnation of Jesus and they're here to save the world. Now, that is funny, but you will not believe how many people tell me these things. It is almost on a daily basis. And I think this is where the spiritual world, the spiritual community, gets a bad name from the rest of the world. The outside world thinks spiritual people are those crazy people. Well, when in reality, being spiritual simply means coming home to yourself, being kind and gentle and open and loving and compassionate for all living things. That's the essence of being spiritual. And it is true, the more that you can find yourself coming home to that, the bigger you can feel yourself getting, because you are no longer constrained by the confinements of labels or what society wants from you or all of these things that we're taught to have and to get, to label ourselves with. You do become free, and life becomes so much more enjoyable. Then you can just wake up and feel complete gratitude for your jasmine tea. That is a world I want to live in. That is beautiful. The Dalai Lama once said, if you can genuinely smile at someone or give somebody a hug once a day, your life has absolutely been worth living. And I want everybody to truly hear that, because so often we are taught that we believe we have to do something grandiose to stand out, to be famous, to be known, to be rich, and to be powerful. That is the ego screaming, give me attention. The heart says, I want to be free, I want to be happy, and I want others to have the same. Being spiritual should not have anything to do with the ego. Be love. Be love is the way to change the whole world.
What you say reminds me on my first daughter. She's now already 25, but when she was little, she hated the word spiritual. She always said, What people think what is spiritual is so natural and so ordinary, you don't need to use such a fancy word. And yeah, I just can agree. Yeah.
If there was one thing that I wished the world looked at, well, it's double-sided. I want the world to look at spiritual people as just good people without harsh judgments on others and wanting to make the world a better place and love nature and love each other. But I also want spiritual people to stop playing the ego game in trying to outdo each other with their fantastical stories, instead of just say, I am me. I want to make the world a better place, and I want to be seen, and I want to be loved. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to be heard. That's essentially human, and we all have it. But we really do have to break away from the ego of putting other people up and yourself down. And we are all in this together. We are all in this together. And we have to respect and love each other and get to work.
Yeah, and I see really this inner work of connecting to the simplicity, connecting to your essence, connecting with that to everything, which is kind of, you could say that's more in the invisible, you don't see it so much. But then also, as you said, you named several actions we can also take. So it goes in both directions. It goes inside, it goes outside.
It's true. So if you're taking care of yourself and you love yourself and you respect yourself, you will automatically learn to do the same for others. If you love yourself and you love this planet, you won't throw plastic out. If you love this planet, you would never throw garbage into a river. If you love the forest, you would never cut it down. If you are a loving, good human being, you simply wouldn't damage things on purpose. And on purpose, I don't mean to say on purpose. Many, many times people are doing things that they don't even realize is harming. But the more loving you become, the more intelligent you become, and you cannot not see it anymore. There's no way a loving human being that loves nature and loves themselves and their family would go shoot a bird with a BB gun. it's just not going to happen. There's something that is built into us, into our hearts. Our parents don't have to tell us killing a cat is wrong. We know it inside of ourselves. We have to just listen to that sweet self and be kind to that sweet self. And it's not as hard as it seems to be. Being love is not hard.
Yeah, and what I get there is, or what works for me is that when I kind of, I turn the volume down, because to what you refer there, this voice is gentle, is sweet, is soft. It doesn't kind of, it's, you need to turn the volume down of our other things.
Yes, and it's all there. It's there. If you can be quiet and still yourself, it's there for every single one of us. Absolutely.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for bringing...
Just a reminder.
Bringing all this...
In all of us.
Reminders and the simplicity and really also... Yeah, just be loved. That's so, in everyone can contribute to that.
Yes, you don't have to have a title or a job. You don't have to be wealthy. Every single person living on the planet can contribute to the consciousness of humanity in love. It's freely given, and you can freely give it back out. Love is the simplest answer there is. And it's the answer that every Indigenous person is teaching right now. Love, be love. It's simple and it's inside of every single one of us. And it's freely given. Stop talking and start listening and then give gratitude.
Yeah.
And we can change our world.
Yeah, and just to add a little bit piece is that sometimes when I notice that I'm in a difficult situation where it's very difficult to be open, where I sense my system tightening and tensing and kind of being a bit stubborn like a little kid, and then just to I always try to remind myself then, now where you're hard and where you're tense and where you're not really loving, just try to accept that and love that, that it's just difficult in this moment.
It's true. And remind yourself that every situation, there's a lesson to be learned. You can learn from it and grow from it. But also... I use it as a practice as well. I can become very aggravated. I'm a normal human being too. I can get angry. But no matter how upset I am about whatever the circumstance is, if I go outside and I start making statements like, I am so grateful for the grass. I am love. I am kindness. Those statements vibrate at such a high level, no matter how angry you are, your energy will change. The highest energy will always win for all things. It's the way the universe works. It's the way the world works. Love energy vibrates higher than anger energy or disappointment energy or whatever it might be. No matter how upset you are, if you go outside and start making kind, loving, grateful statements, your energy will change. Your emotion changes. It's the same way with music. You can be having the worst day in the world and turn on one of your favorite songs. Your frequency changes. Your energy changes. Use the highest vibration. Mm-hmm. And that is gratitude and love. It does work like magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Keisha, little grandmother, for sharing.
It's been my pleasure, really. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share.
And of course, at the end of the video, we will add your details, your website, and I will also let our audience know about your programs. So if you listening and watching this interview feel inspired and touched and want to kind of see or hear a little reminder from time to time, you're very welcome. There are plenty of opportunities. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And my second book, my new book, Earth, Water, Fire, Wind, is now published in Germany as well. So it's in a few different languages as well. So
great.
Letting people know. And anybody can join for workshops or lectures or any of these things. I always put them up on the Facebook Little Grandmother Keisha or my website, littlegrandmother.net. So everything is there if anyone is interested to learn more.
Thank you. I will provide all the information so that we can kind of really dig and connect to our essence and our love, what we are.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much and bless you. And I hope that you have an enjoyable, beautiful evening.
Thank you, Keisha.
Bye-bye.
Bye.